Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. On this Thursday, we get you set for the start of week number 14 of this NFL regular season, a Thursday night football game in the Steel City. It's Pittsburgh. It's New England. And Scott, it's history as well. A historically low over under, a total, Scott, we have not seen in some 30 years in the National Football League. The betting consensus across the marketplace for the Steelers and Patriots game tonight, over under 30 points, Scott. It would be the lowest we have seen in the National Football League since the 1993 season, week number 15. At least there's history if we're not going to see a lot of offense tonight, Scott, in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and it might be short history because the record could be broken 2 days from now when the Cleveland Browns host the Jacksonville Jaguars, because their number is 30.5 as well. And that could obviously drop even further. So, but I do have a couple of betting angles, but stealing a phrase from our good buddy Rick Pitino, Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady are not walking through that door, folks. It is what it is. We got Mitch Trubisky and apparently Bailey Zappi as our great quarterback. All the history, all the great playoff games and everything between these two teams. And we got Zappi versus Trubisky tonight. But it's a big game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not so much for New England, but certainly for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So they can't make light of this, especially after losing last week to the way they did to Arizona.
For sure. Amazon probably licking its chops entering this season to see in week number 14, the 2nd of December, a Patriots and Steelers game on Thursday Night Football, only to find out it was Mitchell Trubisky against Bailey Zappi. The Patriots, not a good team this year, Scott. 2-10 straight up as an underdog, of which they are getting 6 points tonight on the road in the Steel City. They are just 1-7 against the number. But the Steelers, although it hasn't looked the prettiest at times, being outgained in 11 of their 12 games so far this season, they are 7-5 and firmly in the AFC playoff picture and in that wild card chase. It's why the importance of this game matters so much more for Pittsburgh than that of New England. Let's welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here. Sirius XM channel 159. Channel 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. So as we get ready for Thursday Night Football, a 6-point spread in favor of the Steelers. That over under at 30.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook around the marketplace, it is as low as 30. Either way, historically low in the past 3 decades in the National Football League. But Scott, knowing the importance of this game for the Steelers, how do you feel about Pittsburgh laying nearly a touchdown at home on a short week on a Thursday?
You know, if I had to do it, I would if I had to pick. But I believe it or not, I'm probably more comfortable with the under than I am anything else. You know, you look at the Patriot last, not one, not two, but last 3 games, Ben. That total would have produced unders. I mean, their last 3 games have produced 6, 17, and 16 points. So as crazy as that 30.5 is, But again, 10-6, 10-7, and then 6-0. And what does that mean? Well, that means if they were getting 6 points, you got two wins and a push. So that's why if I'm going to lean towards it, I'm going to lean towards the under in the game. I can't bet Bailey Zappi. I just can't. His over-under, which we'll get into some of these props, I'm sure, is historically low as well. I don't have any faith in them scoring. They've scored 13 points in their last three games combined. So if I had to, I guess I would take Pittsburgh, but I prefer the under.
Yeah, I prefer the under as well. And Scott, let's start with that historically low total because it's not a bit. I've done this many a time, Scott, for Iowa Hawkeye games this year in college football. 5 different times this year for the Hawks. They played in a football game that at the time of kick, their total for whoever the game was against the opponent was the lowest or co-lowest at that time in FBS college football history. In all 5 times, the total hit the under. It was part of the bit, but obviously it was profitable. Scott, this is not a bit, though, for the odds makers. They're not doing this as a joke. They're not saying, oh, Trubisky versus Zappi. Just make the total 30 and let's watch the football game. There is a reason this number is where it stands. Scott, in the last 5 years, since the start of 2018's NFL campaign, there have been only 6 totals around the National Football League at 35 points or less. 5 of the 6 have hit the under. When the total is low, it's because there is not expected offense, and thus it makes sense to see unders come through, even when the margin, Scott, is 34, 33, 32 points in a football game. There's a reason the point total is as low as it stands entering tonight on a Thursday.
Yeah, and I tell you, there's a favorite little prop I've been getting to know on FanDuel, Ben, that kind of puts this game into perspective for me. And that is, every once in a while, they don't do it for all the games because it's so overwhelming, but they offer a prop of, will each team score in 2 or more quarters? And believe it or not, it happens basically every single game, every Sunday except one. It averages one Sunday, one team that doesn't score in 2 quarters. Normally, if they offer that prop, you're laying about 3.5 to 4.5 to 1 on the yes. Mm-hmm. Tonight, that prop, they do offer it. It's actually, forget about laying 4 to 1 or 3 to 1 or 2 to 1 or even money. You are getting odds plus 130 on each team to score in 2 or more quarters, which again is just like, wow. But the Patriots haven't scored in 2 or more quarters in 2 of their last 3 games. But you think that would be a pretty easy thing to do. But for New England, it's not.
No, it is not. 13 combined points, Scott, for New England in their last 3 football games. The Patriots have played in their 12 football games, 9 unders. The Steelers have the highest under percentage in the National Football League of the 12 games for Pittsburgh this year. 10 have hit the under. New England has seen 5 previous totals this year, Scott, at 40.5 or lower. All 5 have hit the under. This will be the 7th game already this season for Pittsburgh that features a total in the 30s. None that are just at 30 or 30 and a hook. But Scott, that's where these two teams stack up entering tonight. The Steelers also a top 10 scoring defense in the National Football League, only allowing 19.1 points per game on average. That's 6th best in the NFL. And given the offensive woes of this Pat side, it is not hard to think, Scott, we might see something similar to what we saw for New England last Sunday at home in Foxborough against the Chargers. That was a 6-0 victory for LA, where they were booked as a 5.5 point pregame favorite, and they covered the number.
Wow. Amazing. How about any quarter to end scoreless? Pick 'em. No touchdown in the game, 11 to 1. Now that number is usually around 40 to 1, right? And a lot of times they don't even offer it, but they say, well, okay, you know, we'll throw it out there at 35, 40, 50 to 1. That's down to 11 to 1. That might be the best 11 to 1 bet as far as realistically happening as you'll ever see. I could easily see this thing being 6-3, 3-0, pick a number without a touchdown being scored. But someone's got to break through though, right? I mean, short week, crazy things happen, defensive touchdown, you know. Trubisky and Zappi are so bad, Ben, that they'll lead to a short field for somebody. We're going to get some points tonight.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. And again, some points could lead us over, right? We're not asking for a ton. The total isn't 45.5. 17-14 goes over this total of 30 and a hook. We'll look at the quarterback comparison, the key matchups in this football game, and what it means for Pittsburgh. Again, they are firmly in the postseason race. That's next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. Thursday night football starts off week number 14 of this NFL regular season. Only five more weeks left, of course, in the 18-week regular season we have now in the National Football League. And for one of the two teams, Scott, facing off tonight, the game incredibly significant for its postseason positioning. That would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. And for the first time in a long time with a current 2-10 record, the New England Patriots got not even included in the hunt graphics for a playoff spot at this moment as we embark on the second week of December in the National Football League. Again, the Steelers a 6-point favorite at home tonight. The over-under historically low, the lowest we have seen in the last 30 years in the NFL, around 30.5. And Scott, as you alluded to at the start of the show, it's not Ben Roethlisberger versus Tom Brady. It's not Mac Jones versus Kenny Pickett even. It is Mitchell Trubisky filling in for the injured Pickett and Bailey Zappe on the other side for New England, taking over for the disgruntled Mac Jones, who the situation just did not work out this year in 2023. Here are the props, Scott, that would align with the idea this football game might see at maximum 30 total points. Bailey Zappe's passing yards prop, 154.5. Trubisky's passing yards prop, 180 and a hook. Scott, this might look like football from 1942 tonight, but in 2023 in the Steel City.
Yeah, those are low, right? I'm disappointed in Trubisky. Really, you know, at least Zappe's the Bailey Zappe, but Trubisky is a higher draft choice as he was, been in the league and everything. For his number to be that low, that's really, really embarrassing. I tell you, the ones I like, you know, out of Trubisky and Zappe, you know, the problem with Bailey Zappe's numbers being so low, Ben, is that he might get yanked at the halftime, right? I mean, he could be so bad, which is a possibility, and then they say, okay, you know, you had your half, now we're going to bring in Mac Jones. Belichick has done that this year. So you can't, to me, bet the overs on him. But I do like the over 27.5 pass attempts, Mitch Trubisky. Whether he throws for 100 yards or 300 yards, it's hard to imagine him not throwing 28 times. And then maybe a little hunch on under 28.5 passing yard completion, the longest completion for Bailey Zappe, under 28.5 yards, because he's yet to have a completion at 29 yards this year. Now, he doesn't play every single game, grant you that, yeah. But it is condition and everything else. I'm not going to buck a never trend. He hasn't had it done this year. So if you're going to play some Bailey Zappe, it would be under. And then I do, like I said, the over 27.5 pass attempts for Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, I think that's a good area to look as well, Scott. And I wonder how this all plays out for the offense in Pittsburgh that had optimism two Sundays ago in the first game since ditching Matt Canada. But, of course, last week in a game, regardless of the lengthy weather delays and the injury to Kenny Pickett, you probably just can't lose at home in the thick of a playoff race in the AFC, booked as a 5.5-point favorite at home against an Arizona Cardinals team that walked in with two wins and left with its third of the year, winning by two touchdowns. I think that point of emphasis will be big for Pittsburgh tonight as well. A two-win team enters again, and if you want to stay in the AFC wildcard chase, you can't cough up this opportunity tonight, even with Mitchell Trubisky as your starting quarterback. Scott, I actually like the over on the passing yards prop as well for Trubisky. You talked about the attempts. Hopefully that means if he can just average about 5 yards per attempt, he's sailing over this number tonight, 5, 6, 7 yards, whatever it might be, something rather marginal for that 180.5. And it's not so much Trubisky, who last week's got 11-17, 117 yards, and a touchdown in the half plus he played in relief of Kenny Pickett. He didn't throw any interceptions, but he did have a costly fumble on a botched snap in the third quarter that led Arizona to go up by two touchdowns and never look back. Of course, we know Trubisky started last year as the starter in Pittsburgh before he was replaced by Kenny Pickett during his rookie campaign. He has gone over this number, Scott, of 180.5 and two of those four starts that he made last year for the Steelers, and also filled in relief duty week number 8 against Jacksonville after Kenny Pickett was injured. 15 of 27, 138 yards. Did have two picks in that game, but did toss a touchdown. Now, those two games, of course, Pittsburgh lost by 10 to Jacksonville. Last week, they lost by 14 to Arizona. I don't think you feel overly confident with Trubisky under center tonight, but when you look at 180.5, I understand the total is 30.5. It just, the number seems a little bit too small. Scott, the last six quarterbacks against the New England Patriots have gone well over 180 in a hook. Even Tommy DeVito, and this is not a shot at Tommy DeVito per se, but even Tommy DeVito included in those last six quarterbacks to throw for over 180 in a hook. DeVito threw for 191. I think Trubisky can do that here tonight just because the number is so small.
Yeah, I would think so as well. And then you throw in, Ben, listen, we're joking about how this could be, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's the last thing you want, right? I mean, you don't want to get into the fourth quarter in a one-score game as often as they play in one-score games, but you want to go in and say, hey, you know what we have to do? We got to get up two touchdowns on this team. We go up two touchdowns, you know, this game is basically over, and the best way to do that is I think anyway, throwing the football a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, 180 yards, you would be thinking he would be able to do that in his sleep, right? I mean, lousy 181 yards, that's it. So that's why I said I like the over attempts. You know, I'm a little bit more confident in the attempts than I am the yards, but I think it's the same premise. I think they're going to come out throwing the football here a little bit, and I think he's going to hit both those numbers.
Yeah, I think so as well. And again, if you can score 10 points, and I know that's not a very high barometer to pass, but if you can score 10 points tonight as the Pittsburgh Steelers offensively, you might win this football game and cover the 6-point number. That is how putrid New England's offense has been. Again, 13 combined points for New England in their last three games. 10 losses this year, Scott, for the Pats. They scored 20 in their opening loss of the year against the Philadelphia Eagles. They have not scored more than 17 in any of the 10 losses or any of the 9 losses from that point. They've scored 17 exactly 4 times, but the other times, there was 5 other losses here in this category, 7 points or less. And again, Pittsburgh is a really good defense. And Scott, the New England offense will not be at full strength either. Ramondre Stevenson, a high ankle sprain. Ezekiel Elliott is going to be that lead back. His rushing yards prop tonight, 59.5.
Yeah. Yeah. And one more thing real quickly on the Patriots defense.
Yeah.
Number 3 against the rush in the NFL. Near the bottom against the pass. So that would lead me to think, okay, again, Pittsburgh's going to come into this game, you know, trying to throw the football a little bit. I do like the Zeke ones. You know, as much as I like the Trubisky over 27 and a half pass attempts, you know, Zeke getting 16.5 receiving yards is the one. His receptions is 2.5 minus 140. But I could see him getting... I can't see him getting 3 receptions without getting 17 receiving yards. I can see him getting 17 receiving yards, but not 3 receptions. So if I'm going to choose one of the two, 16.5 receiving yards. They're going to throw him the football. Last week against the Chargers, they threw it to him 5 times, had 40 yards in receptions. I think it's going to be Zeke. Without Stevenson, he had 17 carries last week. If that carries over into this game, and it's never seemingly that simple, Ben, but if that's the case, I think Zeke hits his numbers, you know, whether it's receiving or rushing.
Yeah, completely agree. Anytime touchdown, by the way, again, reflected in the idea the total is 30.5 plus 220 for Ezekiel Elliott. You think if they score, and even if it's just one touchdown, that might be Zeke's number down near the goal line after slogging their way down there. And Scott, despite Pittsburgh being the 6th best scoring defense in the NFL, they do give up some yards. It's the burden a defense has to face when the offense on the other side, is inept in terms of their production. Your defense is going to be on the field. You're going to be bend but do not break in the way that you do not allow teams to capitalize on the yardage they gain. Again, Pittsburgh has been outgained in 11 of their 12 games this year from that total yardage component. They allow 121 yards per game on the ground. That's the 11th worst rushing defense in the NFL. There might be some opportunities there for Ezekiel Elliott tonight. Again, Scott, I just think New England is really bad at when it comes to how they stack things up offensively. I think the over-under of that 30.5, the under is certainly in play. And we didn't really get to this discussion, but we'll have it next, Scott, with some news around the NFL as well. That AFC playoff picture, what it looks like for Pittsburgh entering week number 14 with four teams at 7-5, all in the hunt for three AFC wildcard spots and some teams behind them that aren't really all that far behind. We'll talk about it next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. All right, Thursday Night Football kicks off week number 14 tonight in Pittsburgh between the Steelers and the Patriots. Again, Pittsburgh at home at Acrisure, a 6-point home favorite, a historically low over-under that currently stands on FanDuel at 30.5. Scott, we have talked about the significance of this game for the Steelers. They are one of four teams right now in the AFC playoff picture at 7-5. One of four teams currently in the fight for those three AFC wildcard spots, with a few 6-6 teams not all that far behind. The Buffalo Bills, the Denver Broncos, and even now the Cincinnati Bengals. Those four teams got at 7-5, the Steelers, their AFC North divisional mate, the Cleveland Browns, and then the two teams out of the AFC South, the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. Scott, knowing what is at stake tonight for Pittsburgh, a 6-point home favorite against a 2-win New England team, how crucial is a win at home tonight in Acrisure?
I think big. Not just for the obvious, okay, you need to win, but two, you know, this would be their third loss in four games. You know, it's starting to unravel here a little bit, and they have a penchant for playing down to their competition, losing to the Cardinals last week. You have back-to-back home losses against Arizona and the Patriots. Boy, I don't care how confident you can be in that locker room. There's got to be a section of doubt that is just creeping in saying, well, you know what, we're not going to have our starting quarterback. Now there's a report that they were looking to bench Kenny Pickett anyway, but still, you start, you know, we all agree that they're playing over their head, right? Being outgained in 11 of their 12 contests that they played this year, but they put themselves in a great position. You know, 2 weeks ago, you're looking at these as two just automatic wins before you start a stretch there of Colts and Bengals and Seahawks and Ravens. If they can't beat the Cardinals and Patriots at home, how are they expected to win those other games? So you can make the case. I know not statistically, Ben, but you can make the case the Steelers season to me is on the line tonight. They have to win. Otherwise, to me, they're done.
No doubt about it, Scott. And again, last week was a weird, fluky type atmosphere at Acrisure. Multiple lengthy weather delays. Your quarterback got injured, I think, before even the first weather delay, but early on in game time, at least in that opening half, for Kenny Pickett. But when you're a 5.5-point home favorite against an Arizona Cardinals team that had won two games entering that contest, two games, that's it, all year long, and you're booked as a 5.5-point favorite, you still got to find a way to eke out a win, even if it's by a point on the very last second of regulation. To lose by two touchdowns, that's as disappointing of an effort as you will see. And we know one thing for sure, under Mike Tomlin, this Pittsburgh team will be ready to go tonight. They will understand what is at stake and on the line. Under Mike Tomlin, this is now year number 17, but in the previous 16 seasons under Tomlin, they've never won less than 8 games. They are certainly on track to go over 8 games yet again this season. Tonight would give them 8 wins in 2023, but they're going to need more than that, it would seem, Scott, to be a playoff team. Scott, we spoke on Tuesday last, right? And after the injury to Trevor Lawrence on Monday Night Football, we both thought it was frankly a little bit strange that there still were not make playoff odds for the other AFC teams. That with Jacksonville as a hefty odds on favorite still to win the AFC South, although it's only minus 220 now, it was minus 800 before the Monday Night Football finale for week number 13. There weren't any prices on any team from the AFC available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. That's still the case entering Thursday Night Football that starts week 14. But I know, Scott, because we had this conversation on Monday, the Steelers, even after the loss to the Cardinals, were minus 142 to make the postseason, and the Cleveland Browns were minus 162 to be a playoff team, those two teams out of the AFC North. Strange the odds aren't up, but Pittsburgh's got, even after the loss, loss, still favored to see the postseason. This win, though, goes a long way to making good on that minus money price.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a glitch in the system, Ben, because they have the division odds, they get the conference odds, they get the Super Bowl odds, they have updated win totals for Pittsburgh and the AFC teams, so I don't know why they wouldn't have the to make the playoff bets when they have everything else. Pittsburgh's win total, 9.5 plus odds, plus 110. I don't know if that says they're confident in Pittsburgh turning things around or they're not. 7-5, can they get three more wins out of the remaining schedule? You would think on paper, yes. You know, if you want to, you know, pencil in a win tonight, but this is kind of a, you got to show me something. And I would be real surprised if they lost tonight, right? I mean, I have too much respect for Mike Tomlin. Forget about it's Trubisky. Forget about this and that and the weather. Might be a weather. You know, it's still Mike Tomlin, I think one of the best head coaches in the NFL. And if he didn't read this team the riot act after this past Sunday's loss, I'd be real surprised if they didn't come out and maybe win this thing like 24-7, 20-7, you know, in that 24-7 range. I think Pittsburgh wins handily.
Yeah, I would agree. And that would put Pittsburgh in a really good spot at 8-5. That's why I would lay the 6 with Pittsburgh tonight, but I still take the under of 30.5. I think Pittsburgh might score 20, and New England might score 3 at maximum. And then when you look at the remaining schedule, Scott, for these teams around the NFL, Pittsburgh's is not all that difficult, although New England is the only team on the docket right now that is below 500. But of their final four games following that, it will be two teams that are currently even 500, 6-6, and the Colts, who are 7-5. A week 18 finale against the Baltimore Ravens. Again, the Ravens might have already clinched the division. Maybe they know firmly what their postseason spot is by that point. And regardless, week 18 games between the Ravens and the Steelers are never easy to come by. But when you look at the schedule, it's not overly difficult at this moment, but it's not exactly easy. That's why tonight's game adds on that importance against the New England Patriots. It's the only team with a losing record sub 500, Scott, that the Steelers will play to end out this season.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's hard to do, and I love doing it, but it is hard to do, like look at a schedule and say, okay, win, loss, you know, a 50-50 type of game, because you just don't know. You know, how long is Trevor Lawrence going to be out for Jacksonville at 8-4? Are they going to come way back to the pack with C.J. Beathard? You know, is Mitch Trubisky going to be good? Is he going to be good enough, will we say? Cleveland Browns at 7-5, one of the other 7-5 teams. Is it going to be Joe Flacco, I guess, the rest of the season? Maybe DTR comes back? You know, it sounds crazy, but the Texans to me are the team that, you know, even with the Colts, with the, you know, with the Gardner Minshew, you know, when is that experiment going to end? Because it's seemingly going great. But the Texans, the one with the most secure quarterback situation, yet right now they're on the outside looking in at the number 8 spot because of all the wild card tiebreakers that they would lose. But I'm more confident in the Texans than I am the Colts, the Browns, and even the Steelers to make the playoffs, to tell you the truth.
For sure. I mean, there's a lot to be ironed out right now as you look at those four teams at 7-5, because Pittsburgh plays the Colts. They also play the Bengals, who are 6-6. The Browns will play both the Texans and the Bengals. When you look at Houston, they have the Browns and the Colts still on the docket as well. There's a lot of intermixing here, Scott, for those 4, 5, 6 teams still very much in the running for an AFC wild card spot. And I would still say, Scott, there's 7 teams in the running for those 3 wild card spots, the 4 at 7-5, Steelers, Browns, Texans, Colts, and then 3 at 6-6. The Broncos had a resurgence. They had their 5-game win streak snapped, of course, this past Sunday, but the Buffalo Bills, fresh off a bye, a difficult slate to end out the year. The Chiefs on the road this upcoming Sunday, then they host the Dallas Cowboys next weekend as well, and the Bengals, who all of a sudden have some life, if Drake Browning can perform even close to the level he did on Monday night.
Yeah, the only problem the Bengals, Bills, and Chargers have been is that their conference records are all under 500. Yeah, Bengals 2-6, Bills 3-5, Chargers, you know, that far 3-4. Whereas the Colts and the Browns and the Steelers 5-3, 5-3, 5-3, and even Houston's 4-3. And that's, you know, without the head-to-head tiebreaker, if you don't have that, that's the next one, conference record. So those teams, if they tie for a playoff spot, more than likely would not get in. So they got to be one game ahead of everybody else.
Yeah. There might be some head-to-head tiebreakers that come into it. The Indianapolis Colts and the Texans, divisional foes, of course, do play each other to end out the year, week number 18. That could be a game for all the marbles. Of course, we are going to see the Bengals take on a bunch of teams, including the Steelers here before this year is out. In fact, the Bengals are 0-4 in their division. I believe the final two games for Cincinnati against AFC North foes are, yes, of course, against Cleveland and Pittsburgh before this year is through. So there is ground to be made up, but thus there is also ground to lose if you are going to struggle against the teams you are either right near around in those wild card and playoff standings or the teams that are ahead of you. It's that idea, Scott, of opportunity. If you take the optimistic glass half full approach, or this is going to be a tough slate to end out the year if it's glass half empty. I think you take the glass half full and you know you have an opportunity to go beat some teams either around you to knock them down or beat teams in front of you to make up some ground. That's how it's going to shake out in the AFC. Seven teams in contention for those three AFC wildcard spots. And I guess we shouldn't put to bed just yet the Chargers or the Raiders by any means.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they realistically would probably have to run the table, go 10-7 to get in. I don't think 9-8 with them, again, with the conference record they have, wouldn't get it done. I think the game I'm looking forward to most this week is that Cincinnati-Indianapolis one. That's one of those that you're referring to, Ben. Cincy at 6-6, Colts at 7-5, chance to gain, really a game and a half if you're Cincinnati on the Colts, who's sitting that final playoff spot. And then just to see Jake Browning, was Monday night just a fluke, just a crazy situation, it took him for granted, blah, 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 whatever the case may be, or can he really step in? They do have obviously a ton of weapons, right? I mean, no knock on Joe Burrow. I love Burrow.
Yeah.
But they do have with T. Higgins back from injury, they have a lot of weapons to throw to.
Yeah, completely agree. And maybe that's why there should be some optimism for Jake Browning, knowing that he doesn't have to be one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the National Football League. But if he can just put the ball in the hands of Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins often enough, and if Joe Mixon can keep doing what he did on Monday in Jacksonville, there's enough offensive pieces to have some success. More of that discussion next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. So, Scott, we have talked about the AFC wild card race. You could say the same about the NFC. Maybe the records are not as illustrious in the NFC, but for the final two NFC wild card spots, because either Dallas or Philadelphia, whoever wins the division, that team who finishes runner-up will be that top NFC wild card team. It still seems like it will be Philadelphia, but a huge game this upcoming Sunday night we will discuss in a minute. A lot of games this upcoming weekend, week number 14, that will have direct impacts on that playoff race. And not just with one team that's facing a team that's out of it, because so many teams are in the running, it will have that dual impact of a team moving up while maybe one moves down the seeding list. You talked about the Colts and the Bengals. Scott, it's gone back and forth, back and forth. The Bengals opened up as a slight favorite. Now the Colts are laying a point and a half on the road, but it's even money. Plus 100. If you want to lay the point and a half, it's because the money line is almost dead even. Earlier today, Scott, it was exactly a dead pick'em. Minus 108 for Cincinnati. Minus 108 on the other side for Indianapolis. Now it's minus 110 in favor of the Colts. And I say in favor. It's a 4-cent distinction to where the Bengals are at minus 106.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. Listen, I get it. The Colts are playing good football, but, I mean, who have they beaten? Carolina, the worst team in the NFL. New England, the second worst team record-wise in the NFL. Tampa Bay at home, and that was, because Tampa Bay didn't know how to run out the clock when they were trying to score the winning touchdown. And then Tennessee this past week, and albeit it took two block punts and an overtime. So, I mean, it's not like they're beating a who's who of the NFL here, right? And that tells me that they don't necessarily believe Jake Browning. or believe in him, the boys in Vegas and the people that are gambling. I do. I'm surprised. Cincinnati at home with all those weapons. I think the quarterback situation is a wash. Gardner Minshew and Browning, and I think the upside on Browning is better. You still got the Taylor out, obviously, for the Colts for the rest of the season. Little surprise, Indy is the road favorite here. At home, yeah. I would suspect. Like, if you told me that line without me knowing, I would have said, okay, Indianapolis is at home, right? And for them to be the road favorites, I like Cincinnati in the game.
Indianapolis, though, has been great away from Indy this year. Yeah, 5-1 away from Indianapolis, which is rather impressive. And Scott, they've won four straight games where the Colts have been booked as the slight favorite in all four. And I mean very slight. They have never laid more than 2 points in the spread in their last four games. Here, they're technically laying 1.5, but it's so close on that money line. Scott, I think this game is going to tell us a lot about where both of these teams are in the wild card race. Indianapolis can take advantage against the Cincinnati team at 6-6, and obviously clearly does not have its starting quarterback in Joe Burrow, because after that, they will take on the Falcons, who are in the hunt of that NFC South race, the Raiders, and then they have the Texans to end out the year, as well as the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, Indy in the mix of taking on teams that are right around them or in front of them in that AFC wild card chase. Another spot, Scott, that looks a lot similar to that is in Cleveland on Sunday. Like we said, with the 30.5 tonight on a Thursday in Pittsburgh, same over-under for the Browns and the Jags on Sunday. A 3-point spread in favor of Cleveland. I don't think we're sure as of yet, Scott, unless I've missed something, of who that starting quarterback is going to be for the Browns. If Dorian Thompson Robinson is out of concussion protocol, if he is ready to go, if they want him to be the starter, or they trust in the veteran who they signed less than 2 weeks ago, Joe Flacco. Again, the number is 3 in favor of Cleveland. A strong Browns line, given the fact that more than likely C.J. Beathard is going to get the start for Jacksonville.
Right. You know, and this is the start. It's a relatively easy schedule, right, for Cleveland. Boy, Jacksonville all banged up at the quarterback position at home. Then Chicago at home. They got the Jets at home later in the year. But they got to make hay. You got to figure out who's going to be the quarterback. I would suspect it would be Flacco, the way he played last week at such short notice against the Rams, which was pretty good. I mean, even if DTR was healthy, I think Flacco showed, like, okay, this guy's still got a little something left. And especially at home. And especially against a backup quarterback, whereas he's not going up against Matthew Stafford. They don't theoretically have to go into that game thinking they got to score 24 to 27 points. You know, 20 should be able to get it done. So I think Cleveland finds a way. They've lost 2 in a row. Kind of moment of truth here. You don't want to obviously lose 3 in a row. Jacksonville's got to be reeling emotionally and everything else. So I think the Browns find a way to get the win and cover.
I think it would stay under if that's the case. I really like the under in this spot of 30.5. I think the Browns rely on their defense and will rely on their defense to slow down a Jacksonville offense that more than likely will have C.J. Beathard making the start. He is a backup quarterback, Scott, but he does have a plethora of starting experience at various spots in the National Football League. I do think this game is probably decided around this margin. If a hook was added on, I might back Jacksonville with the 3.5, just knowing there's not all that many points out there and available, but I do think the under comes into play. And there's not now, Scott, without Trevor Lawrence, there's a world that we're talking about Jacksonville, who's a -220 favorite to win the AFC South, but with both the Texans and the Colts at 7-5 and hot on their heels, there's a world that next week or the week following, if Trevor Lawrence is still on the sideline, that the Jacksonville Jaguars are a part of the wild card race and the Colts or the Texans overtake the Jags in that AFC South divisional race.
It can go up and down, up and down, up and down. I will say this, I wouldn't be surprised if the under hit, but given the two games, Ben, I am more confident than Pittsburgh, New England going under than I am Cleveland and Jacksonville, because you have the two quarterback situation in Jacksonville and Cleveland, whereas these two quarterbacks can put points on the board for both teams, you know, positive and a negative with turnovers and everything else. And you look at that Browns defense, you know, they've given up 36 points, 29 points, and 31 points in 3 of their last 4 games. Yeah. The only game they had a really good game was Pittsburgh, and we know Pittsburgh's offense isn't any good. So this is not the defense that we saw earlier in the year. So they might might be a little more susceptible to giving up some points as well. Weather, yeah, though, is supposed to play a little factor in that football game, so check on that. But out of the two, if I had to choose one over, it would definitely be Cleveland and Jacksonville.
Completely agree. I would go with the over there as well, because I think it's a dead under tonight between the Steelers, yeah, and the Patriots. Scott, you're right. The Browns have regressed slightly on defense, but at a certain point, the dam just starts to break when you've only relied on your defense to give you victory. Somehow the Steelers are still going strong, but that's the burden a defense holds when you are expected to kind of lead your scoring charge. And by lead your scoring charge, I mean you hold the opposition to 7 points in hopes your offense can get about 10 or more. Scott, we got news yesterday, confirmed Zach Wilson back as the starting quarterback for the New York Jets. Gangrene at home on Sunday in MetLife, hosting the Houston Texans. Houston a 3.5-point road favorite, the over-under 33.5. Not a ton of points here, Scott. What do you make of the quarterback situation for Robert Saleh, Joe Douglas, the New York Jets, and now reinstating Zach Wilson as the starter?
I'm surprised. That line was as high as 6, Ben. And not that long, either yesterday early or slightly before they announced, you know, that Wilson was going to be the quarterback. Then when they made the announcement, then it dropped down to 5.5. And now in 24 hours, it's dropped down to 3.5. I mean, There's that much love for Zach Wilson. I get it. You know, is he probably better than Tim Boyle and Trevor Siemian and Rippon? Yeah, but I got a 7-5 Houston Texans team that's battling for a playoff spot, everything going right for them. And I'm getting them laying. I know they're a favorite on the road, but, you know, I'm not putting American money on the New York Jets. But that was the only option they had, right? They had to go back to him. Those other quarterbacks are so bad. And then maybe it was a little coy move for the Jets, right? We know they have this love affair, I think, still with Zach Wilson. Maybe Saleh and company and Douglas said, all right, you want Zach Wilson out of there? All right, we'll show you. All right. Then you got two games of Tim Boyle, and now the most average Jet fan is saying, put Zach Wilson back in. So now the fans are actually supporting Zach Wilson. So maybe they take a couple of steps backwards to go, you know, one monster step forward. People want Zach Wilson back in there. But I don't think it's going to matter. I don't think he's going to play any better. I like the Texans in that game.
Me too. Houston has not been great as a favorite this year. Last week, holding on as a 3.5-point favorite at home against the Denver Broncos was the only cover Houston has seen this year as the favorite side. Now 1-4 against the spread. They won last week at home against Denver by 5 points. But I would agree. I think Houston's just the better side. I really love what the defense is doing for the Texans as well here as of late under D'Amico Ryans, of course, the rookie head man, but comes from the defensive pedigree of being San Francisco's DC the last few years. Will Anderson Jr., the rookie, the third overall draft pick right behind CJ Stroud, had a huge game this past Sunday against Denver. The market moved also weirdly last week, Scott. I don't know if you saw this. The Jets were a 3-point underdog most of the week against the Atlanta Falcons. And then by the time we got to the weekend, it was 1.5, which made no sense to me because Tim Boyle was going to get the start. I don't know why the market keeps backing the New York Jets with optimism, but somehow, some way, it does. I just think in this spot, given what is at stake for Houston and what is not there for the New York Jets, a team that has lost 5 straight games and is now 4-8 straight up, there's just not a lot of hope left for New York. They didn't cover in either of the two games that Tim Boyle started as the underdog in both games, but I guess, Scott, if you're looking for profitability, at least the Jets were 4-4 against the number as an underdog under Zach Wilson.
Yeah, it's a little different them as an underdog at 3.5, though, right? When you have a team that just can't score, you know, the opposing team, in this case Houston, all right, Jets defense has, you know, held up remarkably well. All right, so maybe they put 14, 17 points on the board. But then that means the Jets have to put 14, and they just haven't shown that, you know, with or without Zach Wilson. We joked about it, but it's not a jokey matter for your Jet fan. 10 offensive touchdowns in 12 games. I mean, the circle mark to me is 17. If the Texans can get the 17 points, and I think they can, then I think they cover the spread. And because the Jets offense has been just so bad.
Yeah. And again, I think Houston's defense is on the up and up as well. A big component of why Houston is two games above 500 at 7-5 this year. The Jets team total, by the way, 14.5. That hook could be very, very crucial. -118 to the under. So if it continues to work down before it gets to 13 and a hook, I would jump on the number there if you want the under on the Jets team total. We also got word, Scott, this week, as the Vikings emerge out of their bye week, they're going to stick with Joshua Dobbs as their starting quarterback. And some positive news for that Minnesota offense, Justin Jefferson is on his way back as well. He will play for the first time since week number 5 for the Vikings this week on the road in Las Vegas. Minnesota booked as a 3-point road favorite.
That explains why they're the road favorite. Okay, you know, I'm wondering about that line too. Neither team doing particularly well, and both on the cusp there. You're staying in the playoff spot and everything else. And Aiden O'Connell still starting at quarterback for the Raiders, and they announced Dobbs. But okay, JJ is back. Now we'll get a fair shot at Joshua Dobbs. I thought he deserved one more crack at it. Let him get at least one game with that full Viking offense in there. So I don't know if I'd be laying 3 on the road, but at least now we can evaluate Jefferson or Dobbs on having a real wide receiver to throw to and then having a full contingent of offensive weapons.
Yeah, Joshua Dobbs, last time we saw him, of course, 4 interceptions in that Monday night fiasco at home in Minneapolis against the Chicago Bears, where some of that magic had run out for Joshua Dobbs. I do think it's the right decision by Kevin O'Connell and company to stick with Dobbs as their starting quarterback, as Minnesota is a part of this playoff run in the NFC. And as we saw, Scott, just having that talent on the outside and Justin Jefferson makes any offense's life easier. We'll come back here on Football Full Circle. Up next on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Back live right here on Football Full Circle for just a few more minutes before week number 14 of this NFL season begins tonight in Pittsburgh. The Steelers, a 6-point home favorite against the New England Patriots, the over-under at 30.5. Scott, I know what my best bet is. It's the under of 30.5. Not only do I want to be on the right side of this historically low total, but for the reasons we brought up. 10 of the 12 games for Pittsburgh under this year. The Patriots, 9 of their 12 games under this year. This will be the 6th game for the Pats with a total of 40.5 or less this season. The previous 5 all going under. But Scott, like we said, odds makers don't just set this number to have it be a joke and to have it be a historical component of this Thursday night matchup. In the last 5 years, 6 games with a total of 35 or less in the NFL, 5 of the 6 under those pregame numbers. I like the under 30.5 tonight.
All right, I like that as well. I think my best bet, though, is over 16.5 receiving yards, Zeke Elliott. With Bailey Zappe in there, I think they're just going to be dumping the football off. The wide receivers aren't any good. You can get that in one reception. Literally, he had 40 last week when he had the bulk of the playing time with Stevenson out. I don't know how he doesn't get at least 17. I'd stay away from the over 2.5 receptions because it's big juice. 16.5 receiving yards, Zeke Elliott.
I like the look there as well, Scott. And you're right. For Bailey Zappe, dump the football out, try to get it out as quickly as possible. Scott, do you think we wake up on a Friday morning with the Pittsburgh Steelers at 8-5 overall and potentially covering as a 6-point favorite?
I do. And, you know, I'd even go tease. You want to put Pittsburgh at a 6-point tease, get them to pick them, and I would go under 36.5, which I never, ever bump it up. I always lower it to go over, but not in this case tonight. Yeah, I think Pittsburgh wins.
I think that's a smart way of doing it from that approach. He's Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for us here on this Thursday on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio. We'll be back on a Football Friday starting at noon Eastern time to set the stage for Army-Navy and, of course, week number 14 of the NFL Sunday slate. Come back and join us tomorrow on Sports Grid Radio starting at noon Eastern.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
South Carolina's got everything. Natural beauty, trendy cities, but you might miss your next big adventure in a smaller town. We've got you covered on the Palmetto Porch. Discover South Carolina's official podcast. I'm Devin Whitmire. Come with me as I venture off the beaten path and learn about these towns from the locals who know them best. Check out the Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information, head on over to scpalmettoporch.com.
Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year, that's just $50 total, at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.